Radio.org.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, my wife was pretty sure she was just selling a house to a nice couple. And at the time, this was over 20 years ago, at the time, they were this nice older couple. That was about 22, 23 years ago, this nice older couple. And Gina and I, my wife and I, were talking about this just recently, that when we've been kind of speaking into some other young people's lives, and we realize that we're both about the age now that Dave and Jan Ridge were when we first met them, and God brought them into our lives. We didn't know that's what he was doing at the time. Like I said, Gina just thought she was selling a house, and she sold a house on a lot that was undeveloped that was going to take, I think, about a year and a half. And then slowly but surely, God was beginning to work in my life as well. And then she started to tell me about this really nice, quote-unquote, older couple. Dave and Jan, he used to be a pastor, and they're just the sweetest people. And on the story goes to the point where the first time I think I met Dave and Jan Ridge, and Dave had been a pastor for 25 years and then moved into the marketplace and was working, I think, at Smith Barney at the time. Is that right, Dave?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And so we went to dinner. Do you remember this? We went to a fairly nice Italian restaurant, and I was grown up in the church but wasn't born again. I didn't really know the Lord. And I told Gina that, okay, fine, I'll go, because she was talking about you guys all the time. So we'll see if you remember this, because we went to dinner, and then I said to Dave, all right, give me the whole Bible front to back and present it like a movie. And I think you laughed at the time, just like you're laughing now. And then at one point that night, you said, Dave, that I brought up, which was really just a smokescreen, I brought up, well, you know, I'd like to see some archaeological evidence. And I don't even think I was acknowledging the fact that you had been a pastor for 2.5 decades. And you said, oh, I have a wonderful library full of all kinds of books that would answer your questions on that subject. Come on over anytime and borrow as many as you'd like. And do you remember how many I borrowed?
None.
I remember. That's right. I didn't take a single one. Dave Ridge, welcome to Call to Action. How are you?
I'm fine.
How weird is this? Here we are, 22, 23 years later.
It's hard to imagine, really.
It is. It's really, we reconnected a couple years ago. You guys, we lost contact with you. And for those of you that have been listening to Call to Action Radio for a while, you'll remember our oldest son, Hayden, used to produce the show. He produced the show for 3 years for me. Dave Ridge dedicated Hayden to the Lord shortly after, this was within a year and a half of when Gina and I were born again. And it's been a long, wild ride since then, obviously. And years went by, and then I think I looked you up on Smith Barney and found out that you had moved down here to Naples, Florida, and then reconnected. And I think, was it last year or the year before, was the first time we had seen each other?
It's a couple of years ago.
I think it was the first time we had seen each other in probably almost 20 years.
It was.
And what was that? I mean, that was one of the greatest days, quite honestly, of our lives, for Gina and I, especially in a spiritual sense, to reconnect with you guys, because God used you in such a powerful way. But what was that like for you guys?
It was frankly like seeing children that you had a part in their lives and they've been away for some time. And then you see them grown up. You see how God has touched them and used them, and you feel this incredible sense of destiny that God allowed you to have a part in their lives. I never cease to be amazed at the fact that God can use, as he did in the scripture, he used the donkey to speak. The rocks can speak out.
Yes.
And he has given us the privilege of allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us in the lives of people like you and Gina.
And when you left the pastor and went into the business world, and it seemed like God had given you and Jan, your wife, a ministry to really just encounter young couples, it seems like most of the time, and I want to talk about this because this is still really very, very close to your heart even today, where he just kind of moved your ministry field from inside a church to the marketplace. Is that a correct read?
It's true. In fact, as the church grew very large and the responsibilities of the church became heavy on me, extremely heavy for me, the thing I enjoyed the most, that of touching people that were not churched, I had less opportunity to do that because of the ongoing activity of the church. And circumstances and situations brought us to a place where I was able to re-enter the workforce. And in the marketplace is where my heart has always been. And so for the last 25 years, I've had a ministry to people that are not churched in a way that has been incredibly exciting to me.
Well, and I think, and that's where we're going to park most of our time today as the show unfolds, is what does that look like? Because that's the ministry field that the overwhelming majority of Christians listening to us right now are already in. I think sometimes, certainly I thought to be on the ministry field all the way back in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2004 was to go to Africa, was to go get involved with something with 9/11, Thailand, other places like that. And I think oftentimes, Dave, that perhaps we want it to be the ministry field that's on the other side of the earth, because then it's not so easy and it's not so daily. I mean, it's easy to get over there, but you can't do it very often. It's not daily. It's not in your face. And so we kind of overlook the fact that most of our ministry field is in our backyard.
Sure. And you don't have to live it.
Yeah. What a great point.
You see, so you go abroad and you can share with people you don't know. Sharing with people you know, there has to be a sense of consistency that allows them to recognize that you're different, but not different weird, different because God has made a difference in your life. And if in fact your desire is to make a difference in people's lives, you can do that through what I would call a friendship approach to dealing with lost people. Probably the best way to put it is, I'm looking for an opportunity after I develop a trust and a friendship with people to challenge their spiritual dimension. Where are they?
Yeah.
What do they think about God? What do they think about absolutes? Where do they live? And why is their worldview the way it is?
Yeah, and you encounter them where you find them, and then you build a relationship. You don't throw the Bible at them. I mean, sometimes you have to do that because it's in passing. But most of the time, you have to develop a relationship. And then, like Dave said, consistency becomes the issue. I think it was probably months and months before you and Jan started to get into those conversations with Gina. And I thank God to this day that you did. We're going to hear more about that. We're talking to just what a huge blessing with Dave Ridge. We'll be right back.
American.
This is where I say I don't need to have control. This is where I admit.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, live from sunny South Florida. No, we're not at Rush Limbaugh's compound. That's on the other side of the state. We're down on the Gulf side, which I actually think is the nicer side. But I have to be, I guess I can say that because we're on the air. I'm here with Dave Ridge, who Dave and his wife Jan were just instrumental right down to the core, and Gina and I coming to faith in Christ, and we all knew each other back in Columbus, Ohio, back in the 90s, and Gina was selling new homes at the time, and she sold a home to Dave and Jan, and at the time, it was just a lot, right?
It was a lot.
Did you realize you were buying a lot that was going to take a little bit of time to develop?
Yeah, we recognized that.
Yes. Because Gina, I think, was used to the 6 months, hello, goodbye, yeah. And it was more like a year and a half, wasn't it?
It took a while. It was a little less than a year.
But yeah. Yeah, so quite a process. And in that, Dave and Jan were loving on Gina and building that friendship and relationship, and eventually started to talk about spiritual things. And then I got involved in that conversation. And I don't know if you remember this, Dave, but God kind of had us on two separate tracks. We would meet occasionally to talk about these things. And after a while, we started going to church with you guys sometimes. But I was on kind of a Willow Creek, Chicago tapes in my car track, and Gina was on a Dave and Jan Ridge and one other couple that she sold a house to. And God was just moving in those arenas. But then once I got involved in your pre-existing relationship with Gina, that's what it was. It was this consistency, this joy, this this kind of attractiveness, winsomeness is one of my favorite words that we saw in you guys, and we knew it wasn't an act. I don't think that we talked about it in those terms, but it was authentic to us, and it was just amazing to see God use that, and then, of course, all these years later to bring us back together. But that's what we're talking about today with Dave, who was a pastor for 25 years, and then God moved him over into the marketplace and working in the investment and financial advisor world, and so that's what we're discussing today, is just lifestyle evangelism, which is the one most of us need to get much more serious about. And you were talking about consistency and developing relationships. So when, like, we could use Gina as an example. She's a nice young gal selling you a new home. Do you go into your relationships, Dave, just you and Jan, looking for you? Are you guiding conversations? Are you just waiting for the Holy Spirit to throw doors open? How strategic are you in that the development of those friendships towards the gospel?
Well, we recognize that if, in fact, you have this kind of bait and switch activity that's going on, where you're making friends just for the purpose of being able to share some spiritual thing with them, people pick up on that right away. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to be deeply interested in people. I mean, you look at God's care of individuals. He has a heart for people. I've asked him over and over again to give me that heart, where I have a sense that I love people for who they are. So I develop a relationship with people with no pretense in mind. I want to become their friend. I want to be able to make a difference in their life if that door opens. And I'm looking for that opening on a regular basis. I mean, it's not like I just want to maintain a relationship for the sake of a relationship. Eventually, I want to be able to talk with them about the thing that's most important to me. It's amazing. If I have a relationship with somebody and I know something that could help them immensely, what kind of friend would I be if I didn't share that? So eventually I get to that place where let me say this to you, because at the church, we've taught evangelism on the basis of confrontational approach, where they teach you to do the four spiritual laws or whatever it may be.
So you're a liar, a fornicator, you take the Lord's name in vain, blah, 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 blah. You broke all the Ten Commandments. Yeah, not exactly loving or gentle.
Right, and the end result is that it turns them off. In fact, one of the most difficult things I have in touching people's lives is that I have to work through the junk they've experienced from the church and the confrontational method. So as you develop a relationship, you then reach a place where I will invade, and I will ask permission to do that.
Yeah. What does that look like, asking permission to have that conversation or to go down a spiritual path?
I'm merely asked, tell me about your belief system. What is it that you believe, and how did you get there?
Yeah,
I don't ask that waiting to be able to tell them how wrong they are. I want to know how they got there. I want to know the process that they went through, because as I learn that, I become more effective in the lives of others. So I'm asking them, what is it you believe, and why do you believe it? And I find most people have not really delved into what it is they believe and why.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true inside the church as well, that most of us, I think, in the human condition, most of us are a mile wide and an inch deep. And we don't get past the perfunctory, hello, how are you, too blessed to be depressed, and then we go our own ways, and everything is fine. But I think it comes back to something you said earlier. Christ had a deep and abiding interest in people, individuals. He looked out at the masses, and he wept because he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. For most of the last 12 or 13 years, because I was big in the Christian activism world, I looked out at the masses and I said, ah, to hell with them. It's a bunch of liberals. And I didn't have a heart for individuals. And God has really done a work there in my life and in Gina's life, especially in mine, because I'm more of a confrontational person. But now when I meet people, unbelievers or believers, it doesn't matter to me. They're people made in the image of God who have inestimable worth. And that means it's worth time to care about them.
Yes, it is. And if you start from there, if that's really the way you're heading, people really don't care about each other. I mean, there are people that have friends, but there aren't that many people that will go to bat for you or really do love you just because of who you are. And if you can develop a relationship with somebody like that, it's so refreshing to them. I've had many people over the years say, "Hey, what's your motive for this? What do you get out of this relationship that we have?" As if I have some hidden agenda, or I get.
Well, obviously, you're just trying to get their 401k, right?
That's right. I want to know how much money do you
right.
have?
Yeah, let's get the brass tacks. What's your net worth? Are you long-term strategy, or are you looking for short-term growth, or what do you want here?
That's right.
And I think I think that enough people have encountered kind of that confrontational evangelism that we're just using them to get to their soul and then maybe a notch on our belt because we feel like we have to do it, as opposed to, do you really care about people and ultimately about their eternal state? But it starts with their present state, that you actually give a rip about who they are and what they're experiencing.
Yeah, and if you do, I mean, when you sit down in a conversation with somebody, who do they talk about? Themselves.
Yeah.
To have somebody ask questions of you so that, here's what I see often in the church. I see people in the church who can't wait to be able to tell them about what it is they know, rather than to ask them what it is you want to know about them.
Yeah, one of the most powerful books I've read in the last few years is called Questioning Evangelism. That's not questioning whether evangelism should be done. That's doing evangelism Jesus's way, which is asking a lot of questions. And you ask questions not because you're trying to find something to use against people, but because you actually care about people. We're talking to Dave Ridge. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, I guess we can say that. Listen, by the way, I'm going to put up yesterday's show on the podcast, and definitely want you to hear that. I do that every year right before Thanksgiving, just open up the phone lines and ask people to think about one thing in the past year that they're really thankful for, that Lord has done for them, and to call in and share it. And we had 12 or 13 people get through, which was amazing, because it's not easy to get that many people calling in and getting through onto the air at the same time. But it was amazing, one thing after another, and people sharing their stories and ups and downs, and some things where God brought them through a tragedy, other things, a young woman who never thought she was going to get married got married in the past year, and people were in tears sharing their stories. So that was really awesome yesterday to hear what God's doing in other people's lives. We don't do that often enough. We tend to spend all our time complaining and whining and getting mad about stuff instead of saying, okay, hey, and I've actually used to do this in the Sunday school class that I taught for years. Hey, who's got a praise? Who's got a praise? We all have prayer requests. Who's got a praise? And this is what you would hear. We go, really? Is it that difficult for us to come up with something to thank God for?
I know that sound.
Yeah, you know that sound as a pastor for 25 years. We're talking to Dave Ridge. His wife Jan is right outside. We're down here in South Florida for the Thanksgiving holiday. So just talking to Dave today about what I'm just calling lifestyle evangelism, which is really the way Jesus taught it and lived it himself. Just encountering people out in the byways and highways and caring about them as individuals and developing relationships because you care about them as individuals. And then God just provides a way for spiritual conversations to come about, because that's one of the things you care about with people is, where are they at spiritually? What's been their journey, their story? And we try to hear those stories here on the air, but this has been an area that Dave and Jan, God's just used them powerfully, including myself and my wife, Gina, going back 22 years, back to 1994. We were married in 92. I always tell people, Dave, we were equally unequally yoked. So we were both lost, grew up in the church, but we were both lost. And then he saved us really literally within weeks of one another.
Yeah.
And you and Jan, obviously God used you guys in a big way with that. So, just knowing that, that's been the centerpiece of your personal ministry since you left the church about 25 years ago. And that's why it's such a blessing and an honor to have you here today talking about this. So, at what point do you get to the, you know, 'cause not all of us have a wife that plays the organ. So if you set it up right, if I recall by this story from the past, it was like, all right, hit it, Jan. And Jan's got the organ there in the living room. And now you're preaching. Who are you preaching to? What? Remind me of that. Because I want to make sure we all know that we don't have to have an organ in order to do this properly.
Yeah. Well, you see where I am now in my approach to people's lives who are not believers. I learned how to do it this way by doing it wrong most of the time.
Yeah.
And when I came to Christ, I wasn't raised in the church, raised Catholic as a kid, not religious, but Catholic. I came to Christ on a Sunday morning in an evangelical church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and there was an organ playing, you know. So if you're going to talk to people about Christ,
right.
You got to eventually have an organ.
Right, right, right. 2 + 2 = 4.
I mean, so
if the car's going to run, it needs an engine.
So so I would invite, I mean, I drank a great deal. My life was just very contrary to biblical truth. I was just a lost young man, and I had lots of friends. I liked humor. I laughed a lot. I laughed with them, and so I had this whole breadth of friends. So I discovered that they needed to come to Christ like I did. So I would invite them to our house, and I would in essence preach to them, tell them what happened to me, and Jan, who knew better, but she. She was willing to do what I asked her. I would motion to her. We had an organ. She played the organ. So she went and she would play just as I am, because that was important to the process.
Right. Just setting the mood.
And I would then want to go pray with the person who I had nailed in my living room who couldn't get away. And fortunately, there were some who came to Christ, but most of them left feeling that I had gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
Immensely. Don't go around Ridge was the comment. He has gone religiously nuts.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and he's got the background music and dragged his poor wife down with him.
And the way in which I did it, it's true. I mean, I did as much damage as I did good.
Yeah,
and learning that that's not the way.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. I asked God to help me to speak to people where they were. How to ask more than I told, and that changed my life and the life of we were trying to figure out how many individuals that God gave us the privilege to touch over the years, and I'm amazed to say it's in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The church grew to be very large over a period of time, but that's not really where my heart was. My heart was with the person who wasn't in the church.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, so as you move forward and coming back to where we were earlier and building a relationship and it being real and asking a lot of questions and listening, which is really one of the main ways you prove to somebody that you actually care about them, you stop talking. And you start listening, and there's all the old adages about you got two ears and one mouth, use them in the right proportion, yada, yada, which sounds trite, but it isn't. It's actually quite accurate. So, one of the challenges of being on radio is when I'm doing a show by myself, I'm always talking. And when I'm doing a show with somebody else, like with you today, if I'm doing good radio, I'm not talking any more than 50% at best in allowing you to talk. But when you're having conversations with people, because I think this – most of us, Dave, I think, can relate to all of a sudden something. There'll be some turn in a conversation that could go in a spiritual direction. Is your advice at that point, hey, let's get right to the gospel, or start asking them about their own spiritual beliefs and their own journey?
Yeah, you see, we don't know what they want to know.
What a great point.
I mean, we often tell people what it is they're not asking, and I need to find out what they're asking, what are their questions, what is it that that brought them to a belief system that they have now. And then when you, here's how I worked it with an attorney I was working with once. I said to him, as we got to be friends and I was able to talk with him eventually about his belief system and his faith, and he had very little very little evidence for what it is he believed or what he didn't believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to him, John, tell me, if you were going to talk to me about the law and you had as little background and study about the law as you have about your belief system, who in the world would listen to you? Mm. And how in the world can you spend so much time learning about the law, but you've spent almost no time really learning what you believe and why?
Wow.
And it was a revolution for him.
Yeah.
And I was able to see, after many weeks of meeting together and talking about why he doesn't believe, to the place that he got, that he said, it just makes so much sense, and I want to trust Christ to save
me. Wow, yeah.
You see, I believe that faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a trust in the facts.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's most thinking people don't want to just jump in the dark. And we don't have to, as believers, have them jump in the dark. There is so much evidence, yeah, that Jesus is who he says he is, and that the scripture has the ability to trust. So I'm able to walk them to the place where they say, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. And that was similar for Gina and I, where all of a sudden she's like, you know, I love listening to Gina tell that story in those days back when you were loving us so well with the gospel, is that all of a sudden everything made sense. It's like, boom, all the lights come on. And she goes, okay. And she actually talks about, she was driving around Columbus the next day or two, and everything looked different. And all of a sudden the scales come off, sounds like Paul, and you can see it, and you just go, oh, you know, this makes perfect sense. And I think oftentimes, and I've done this myself, oh, if you're going to follow Christ, this is like closing your eyes and walking backwards. Because if you're walking forwards, you can put your hands out. But if you're walking backwards, then it's, you know, you spiritualize it and mysticize it. But actually, faith is reasonable. And it can stand up to our questions, our intellectual questions, our archaeological questions, our historical questions. It's got so much evidence. It's reasonable. And then you watch people engage on that level, and the spirit's there as well. And that's when all of a sudden, wow, just like that lawyer John said, this makes perfect sense. This is Steve Noble talking to Dave Ridge. How can you reach the people in your life to eventually share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, one day early, and make sure you talk tomorrow. We do this at the Noble House, and we tend to do it every year. We have for several years. You know, what are you most thankful for in the last year that the Lord has done in your life? It's a great question. It's a way that brings us back around. You can escape politics. You can escape the culture war. You can escape entertainment. You can escape all kinds of things and just start focusing on the good things that the Lord has done in your life. And I know sometimes these days it seems like there's not a whole lot good going on, but there really is. You have to stop and take stock of everything that God has done in the past, what he's doing right now, and what you can count on he will do in the future, because he's always good. He's always faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking to Dave Ridge, and this is like a family affair, except you can only hear two of us. But I'm here with Dave and Dave's wife Jan and my wife Gina and my mother and dad, Fred and Janine, down here in South Florida at a beautiful home that a Christian brother allowed us to stay at here this week. So just having a great time. And this is a treat for Gina and I to be with you guys, because you were instrumental in God using you guys to help bring us to faith in Christ. So it's always been one of the greatest blessings, really, of our life in the last. And I thought, I don't want to start losing it, start battling and crying like an idiot on the air. But to reconnect with you guys all these years later and
you know, you're like spiritual parents for us. So it's such a huge blessing just to see you and spend time with you and to have you on the air today. By the way, what would you have said the odds were 22 years ago, Dave, that one day the obnoxious redhead guy that you can't believe Gina married would be doing Christian radio 5 days a week? What were the odds back then? Jan says zero, so she immediately puts her hand up and does the zero sign.
Yeah, I would have thought you were so much into yourself at that.
Oh yeah, you noticed.
Point. It would have been. You're in the right place where you're doing most of the talking, because you were used to that back when. I can remember talking to the two of you about your relationship with each other and saying, "Hey, man, you need to listen some. She has some things to say." So it is interesting that I would never have thought in a million years that this would happen. But at the same time, I want to tell you, I know that God does in people's lives tremendous things. Mm-hmm. And to watch how the two of you have grown and matured, raising a family, how you've touched the lives of other people is amazing to me. And what God does through us, through other people, is incredible to me. I tell you, interesting phenomenon. Not too long ago, in fact, what happened down here, that this guy came up to me and said, "You don't know this, but I'm your spiritual grandchild." I said, "I didn't know I had any." But he said, "Yeah, I'm your spiritual grandchild. You remember?" He said, "Dave Rude." Dave was a young man in Minneapolis when I was a youth pastor there who was wayward, and we developed a relationship, but it wasn't long before Dave came to know Christ, and we saw him blossom, and years later he studied for the ministry, went into the ministry, and was a youth pastor in Milwaukee, and this guy came to Christ under Dave's ministry.
Wow, how about that?
And so I want to tell you, there'll come a day where we're going to stand before God, and we often think about that day as a day of judgment in a negative sense. And I'm sure that there will be issues that we'll have to deal with him, God, in ways that are not that pleasant for us. But the majority of what he's going to say, I believe, is that he's going to show us what the breath of our life did over the years and how he worked through us. And I remember days when we'd have people testify. You remember when we used to that? And when people would share how their lives were different because of somebody else's involvement in their life. And I can remember how moving that was. Well, we're going to be able to enjoy that with everybody on the planet who knows God. We will, because time won't matter.
Right.
We're going to be listening to that breath of activity. I think people will stand in the audience and say, "You don't remember me, but."
Right.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It'll be like a giant flow chart that just unfolds, and you'll see it. You know, I have a pretty active imagination in this giant 3D flowchart. Then all of a sudden, you'll just encounter people that 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 and 20 degrees of separation. Yeah. That fruit all down there. Hey, by the way, really? And then now you have this another conversation. Totally cool. Do you find with people that you guys are sharing with and building relationships with, when it comes down to the spiritual conversation and things that they're struggling with or why they don't have a belief system or have no interest in Christianity, do you find that most people are fairly similar in that?
Well, I think they're similar in the fact that they don't know what they believe and why.
Yeah.
Because often they've never been challenged to even take a look at it. That's similar. But where they are or why they are where they are is very different from one person to the next. And normally, this is sad, they have some negative feelings about the church, which is fictitious, but it's what they believe.
Yeah,
and that's what happens along the
way. And as you go down these roads, the question that I want to ask for the sake of everybody listening to us today and people that will listen to the podcast later is how much do we have to know to be effective at this? Do I have to be an apologist? Do I have to have, you know, a certain number of scriptures memorized? Do I need to know the Romans Road? What qualifies any follower of Christ to be ready to have these kinds of relationships and conversations and gently and lovingly and patiently eventually, you know, get into these conversations about faith?
Scripture, study to show yourself approved, a workman. Be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that's in you. So there is a sense that you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. It's not just the jump in the dark. It's the preponderance of evidence so persuades you. And you see, everybody wants to know absolutely. We build our lives on the preponderance of evidence. You have to prove something beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
And that's what God wants you to learn. Learn how to be able to tell people what you believe and why. And if you don't work at that, your effectiveness is limited. The reality is, though, you must always remember, you don't bring anybody to God. It's the Spirit of God that lives within you that does the work. I'm just a vessel.
Yeah. And I think that's a reason why, you know, the Barna statistics are pretty sad when it comes to people sharing their faith personally. Barna would say between 90 and 95% of born-again Christians never share their faith personally with another person. And I think you touched on the main reason they don't. They haven't shown themselves approved. They're not ready to give an answer for the hope that they have. And so they never really dive down into, why do I believe this stuff? Because once you wrestle with that yourself, I think apologetics most effectively is for people that name the name of Christ. And you begin to go through these different roads and you go, okay, my faith is sound and it's based on reasonable and the preponderance of the evidence. And now I feel that I'm not being loony. I'm not asking somebody to be Evel Knievel and jump across the Grand Canyon. I'm asking them to take actually what effectively is a fairly small step intellectually. And once you're ready, now you're not so afraid. And then now what about, don't you have to, but you got to practice. You're not going to get it perfect. And then you do it. Like you said, you've learned a lot from what you've messed up.
Yeah. I mean, I did it. If you want to know how to do it wrong, I could probably write a book on how not to do it more effectively than I could write.
Yeah. Yeah.
How to do it, but it is a place where I have to know what I believe and why, and that's not often done. My parents believed I go to church. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Lutheran. I'm whatever. The reality is that you have to know, what does God say about life, death, and me?
Yeah.
And it's not that hard. It just takes time to study. And you get better at it once you practice.
Absolutely. Once you practice, because then you'll run into things where you really drop the ball and you have a bad answer, which is really ultimately unloving to the person you're talking to, that you can't fully explain what you're trying to share with them. And now you're confusing them or leading them astray, which is unloving. And as you do it, you go, okay, I need to brush up on this. I'm not really good on that one. I need to focus on this one over here. And it takes time. In that journey, there's always fruit there. Because God can take your junk and turn it into diamonds.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know a guy back in North Carolina who is now a retired North Carolina state senator. This kid came up to him at an FCA banquet, and he goes, hey, Senator Hunt, you led me to the Lord when I was in high school. And Senator Hunt's like, I don't remember you. Well, tell me about that. And he goes, well, you spoke at an FCA breakfast at our school, and I came up to you and said, why do you believe all that stuff? And you said, I don't know, I just do. And that's what led this kid to the Lord, that this man who was successful and smart could have a simple childlike faith, and that stuck with this kid. And years later, he's running around telling everybody, Neil Hunt led me to the Lord. Neil's going, I did? So God can take even your messed up attempts at loving people trying to share the truth with them and lead them to Christ, despite our efforts, good or bad. Dave Ridge, I love you. I appreciate you. thank you for sowing into Gina's life, you and Jan first, and then to my life. We are eternally grateful for your love and your compassion.
Well, let me tell you, the light you are to us and a joy, and I am grateful.
Amen. I love you. I love you, Dave. I love you, Jan. What a pleasure. We'll do this again. Okay, friends, enjoy your Thanksgiving tomorrow. Make it special because you have a lot to be thankful for. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.